Monday is St. Patrick's Day. Patrick, of course, is the apostle and patron saint of Ireland. He was born shortly before 400 AD on the northwest coast of Britain. He was a Romano-British Celt, part Roman, part Welsh. His grandfather was a Christian priest, his father an official in the Roman imperial government of Britain. We have two documents written by Patrick himself, giving us the basic details of his life. He described himself as not an active believer in his youth. He'd been introduced to Christianity, but he wasn't very serious about it. At the age of 16, his world changed forever when he was kidnapped by Irish pirates and sold into slavery. He was taken across the Irish Sea to Northern Ireland. His first problem, besides being a slave, was that he couldn't understand his captor's language. The Irish were also Celts, but they spoke Gaelic, while Patrick spoke the language we now call Welsh. The two languages are related, but not mutually intelligible. For instance, in Welsh, thank you very much, is diolch yn fawr, but the Irish say, gure magot. Does that sound very similar? Well, fortunately, Patrick spent 6 years as a slave, giving him plenty of time to learn Irish Gaelic. He worked as a shepherd on the hills above the glens of Antrim in the eastern part of Northern Ireland. He spent a great deal of time alone with nature and began to pray regularly, gradually developing a strong relationship with God. Eventually, he had a dream in which a voice told him to go home to Britain. Fleeing his master, he traveled to a port where he found a ship and persuaded the captain to take him back to Britain. A few years after returning home, Patrick had another vision. This one was of the Irish people calling to him, asking him to return. We appeal to you, holy servant boy, to come and walk among us. To prepare, he went to France to study in a monastery and was ordained as a priest. And then, in AD 432, he sailed to Ireland. This is really forgiving your enemies. He went back to bring salvation to the very people who had enslaved him. He founded his first church in a barn near where he'd been enslaved. My husband and I visited the small one-room church that stands on the site now. Most of Patrick's ministry was spent in the province of Ulster, or Northern Ireland. Later, Armagh, which had been the court of the kings of Ulster, became the primary seat of both the Catholic Church and later the Anglican Church in Ireland. Legend says Patrick used a shamrock, a three-leaf clover, to explain the Trinity. He challenged the chief druid of the pagan High King of Ireland by lighting an Easter fire on the Hill of Slane opposite Tara, the seat of the High Kings near Dublin. Thus, one man nearly single-handedly converted an entire country. The first people to follow him were women, many of them from royal and noble families, who founded convents and became nuns. He also worked with the poor, encouraging them to join monasteries. Celtic Christianity was centered on monasteries, led by clan chieftains rather than parishes and dioceses. The Irish have always been a highly spiritual people. Their pagan gods were drawn from nature, such as Lear, god of the sea, and Bridget, goddess of fire. They were predisposed to the idea of the Trinity because they had many triple deities. For instance, their Mother Earth goddess was depicted in three aspects: as a young woman, as a matron or mother, and as a wise old crone, like me. the Irish converted in droves. They retained their profound love of nature, and some monks became hermits, living, for instance, utterly isolated on small rocky islets emerging from the sea. They wrote poems about how the breaking waves praised God with the sound of their crashing. Skellig Michael was a famous monastery built on a rock off the west coast. Patrick's conversion of Ireland was important not just for Ireland, but for the entire Western world. By the time of Patrick's death, later in the 5th century, the light of civilization had gone out from Europe under successive waves of barbarian invasions. Except in Ireland. Ireland became the cultural capital of Europe in AD 500. It was the Irish monks who saved classical civilization by copying Latin works by hand. The Irish also became great missionaries who brought the good news to Europe. And thus, God took Patrick's act of compassionate forgiveness, returning to Ireland to convert his enslavers, and expanded it throughout the British Isles and continental Europe. You're probably familiar with Patrick's prayer, set to music as hymn number 370 in our hymnal. Christ within me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ above me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the heart of everyone who speaks of me. So don't forget to wear green on Monday and gather shamrocks and perhaps have some Irish stew and soda bread and even green beer. Erin go bragh. Long live Ireland.